I'm also going to say this is module 4. So the next week's the last week. Ooh. So module 4 is spirit. And this is when things start to not be applied
okay,
by the
way. Okay.
Hello.
We'll just be quiet.
Muting people. Mute. So this is when things are not literal, not making sense with the mind, but what this class is going to do is I'm going to go through all the ways to access that place like we have all the other times. I just wanted to touch base. The heart module last week, has everyone got a chance to hear? Does anyone want to share, even in the chat box, any takeaways, like one takeaway you got from any of the other modules, but in particular last module, just so I can kind of get a sense of what people are really, what's landing for people. Does Connie have something?
No, not really.
Okay, you were kind of giggly and so there. It's like, okay.
Because nobody wants to talk.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to put it out there for people to do that if they wanted to. So we are recording.
Jenna, I will share quickly if we have the time. So last week was pretty intense because I actually had something shift. And something, like, it was like afterwards, there was a huge clearing. Like, I felt like there was something that kind of just left me. Like, I shook something off last week. And what came in this week was a lot of creative energy where whatever was blocking or holding on to me just kind of left. And so it's just been, like, overflowing this week. And the energy that was created and just knowing that there's the space here, I feel like something opened up. And so I just wanted to thank everybody who was on the call and everybody who writes and contributes to the group for that. And thank you for, you know, holding that space because I felt something happen. I still don't know what's going on yet, but it's good energy. So thank you for that.
That's good. That's what's funny is as we get to the heart and spirit, it's like people don't know what to say. They're like, like they're more still digesting everything. And if anyone has any questions about anything, or they're like, oh, I had this little feeling in the back of my neck, I wonder what that might be, just take this time and make use of our time to be supported and to receive the direct guidance, because that is part of why we do the live calls, because this is about a bunch of information you can listen to over and over again, but the actual ability to go, hey, what's this going on here? And have that real live experience, which also is a good example for those listening because it's live and it's like, oh, okay, that's that non-literal, empathetic, intuitive place looks like in action. So let's do this whole segue into the slides thing again. Last time I did it before we started. So share screen. You're going to see me talk through. Oh, I've got a lot of things open too. Share screen. I wasn't doing my homework. Oh, you guys are seeing a bunch of stuff here, I'm assuming. Are you guys seeing a bunch of things?
We're just seeing your like toolbar.
Is this, stop share. Let me try again. That work?
You started screen sharing.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. And now I'm going to do this where I can see the chats because now I know how to do this. Ta-da! All right. Play. Oh. Escape. I'm not at the beginning. I was just working on this. I added a bunch of poems to the end of it for when you guys. Oh, Jody asked in the class, is there going to be a workbook And I'm creating the workbook from the slides from people's questions. So it was this process of doing this that everyone who's in this group, you will get that. So you won't have to pay extra for that. Like, I'm going to be selling it separately. But everyone who's like, yeah, I'm in, then you get it.
Yay.
So the slides will be like a workbook format. Okay, so everybody take a deep breath in, because this is spirit. So it's literally breath. The actual Latin for breath is spirit. So like that breath. So just take a deep breath in all the way down to your pelvis. And from your pelvis, breathe all the way down your legs into the earth. Just do a few more breaths like that. Breathing in. All the way down to your pelvis and out down your legs into the earth. And then another little shaky, just like gentle, intuitive shakes, much like a 2 to 6 year old that would just move their body spontaneously. And good. Okay. So, spirit, pretty big topic. We're going to attempt to talk about it in 60 minutes and get all your needs met with that. So I would like some people, if you're not up to wanting to speak or participate and you're more wanting to receive, then I'll kind of get the hint. But does anyone have like a direct answer? Like when they think, what's God, what's spirit, what's religion, what is that for them? Or what has that been for them? Does anyone want to share what their first impulse of that is, either in the chat box or live?
Sure. To me, that is the place you go when you close your eyes and you go in deep and you get that sense of expansiveness. If you know what I mean, it's a sense of no boundaries, no time frame. It's a really big thing, and it's something that connects us all. And you know, I like to think of it as an internal voice that speaks without judgment. It speaks with wisdom, and it can be thought of as your own inner voice or the voice of the universe, and I don't think there's any difference.
Nice. Someone's done some work on this, eh?
Yeah. I teach it too, so.
Yeah, I know. I've got lots of teachers on here. So I do have a picture on the slide of a big white man in the sky. That's not it. It's not what God is. Unless that evokes that feeling for some people, which it might, you know. So it's a non-judgmental idea, but I do want to poke at the fact that there are these sticking points that in our cultural subconscious, our belief systems that have kept us from that direct contact, which is what we're talking about here. Alrighty, so at the end of the day, religion, spirituality, yoga, all of it, is about union, oneness, connection, direct contact. And I actually didn't even know the word religion meant to bind. Like the actual, you know, things get so messed up when they go through the humanity telephone game of getting messed up by our interpretations, but to bind back to that original oneness, to connect the separation of us and God. And that was really interesting to me. I thought, oh, wow, we've always been going for that. And there's been a lot of hiccups along the way. But that's the whole core. The core of it is all one together, unified, connected. Yoga is about union, to yoke. Spirituality, like higher purpose, all of that kind of stuff is all about interconnectedness and oneness. Like that's the core resounding similarity that everyone can share across the board is this oneness. And also the inability kind of how to come to terms with our human inability to really make sense of it, because we can't, because it's God, all things, everything. But, you know, through music, and we'll talk about the level of ceremony, music, poetry, arts, nature. People have tried in so many ways to make this contact and to express this godliness within them, which creativity is probably the closest. Even the ability to create a child is very godlike, right? That ability to be a co-creator and to be that little sliver of God. But in essence, you know, this by Lao Tzu, the Tao, that, see, the problem is when I have the slides and then I have the chat thing, I can't read my slide. That's interesting. So it's basically saying the Tao that can be named can't be named. Like, that isn't God. So whatever we think God is, as soon as we've made that assumption, we're kind of off. So, you know, that's a lot of you guys on this call are kind of already on board with that. Like, oh, okay, we're not, God isn't in our likeness. It's not a judgy energy. It's not a, if you do this, I'll give you this human thing, or like Santa Claus, like if you're naughty, you don't get stuff. If you're nice, you, like, that's not God. It's actually quite neutral. Like, God, that this God spirit that I'm speaking of today is neutral in the fact that you could still be lovable and worthy even if you've done atrocious things. It doesn't mean that's good. It just means that there's this core, literally unconditional, like unconditional neutrality, that you are worthy and divine, no matter what your free will has made of you. And that's one thing that I think people have a hard time, is that unconditional worthiness. If there's something they felt guilty about or have shame about, they will feel separate from God more than ever. So that's that. Most people need to rehabilitate their relationship to God. Like, I've worked with hundreds of people by now, and at some point it's like, and I had to do this myself, there's this, well, where was God when I was six and then my dad left, or when I was getting beat up and bullied, or when I got cancer, or whatever someone's story is, there's usually some point where they're really peeved at this God thing that didn't show up, disappointed them, made them feel rejected or abandoned. And that's, again, our human, like as if we had a parent, like if it was our parent, we would feel abandoned and rejected. We'd have that wound with our parent. But with our relationship with God, God's actually unconditional. Those little moments in time can add up, and then we have a disconnect between us and God. And what happens in our meditation, again, in the brain dumps and the meditation and the clearing and allowing stuff to come up, is we'll probably have those moments come up when we've had a misperception about God because of our woundedness. Is this making sense? Like, something happens and we're like, God's not there for me. And we don't actually resolve that anger. So last module, we talked about how we shove stuff down and we don't resolve things. This happens with our relationship with spirit and God and our relationship with ourselves. And when that happens, a natural disconnect, a feeling of, sometimes people call it a dark night of the soul, like when it's very extreme. And that term was coined by a Christian mystic for those times when it really feels like you're alone in the world and God isn't there. And that happens on most spiritual journeys. So I did want to mention that there are trials and struggles. And at the end of the day, they're burning off our misperceptions. They're not meant to punish us. So some people are like, oh, there was that time where I was really abandoned by God, and they keep it as a wound and they keep a resentment, and that's keeping them from their own peace and their own power and their own bliss right here and right now. They're the only one keeping themselves wounded because they're holding on to that. So I wanted to mention that. And the exercise for that is not liked by many, but it's an FU letter to God. It's not disrespectful. It's not sacrilegious. It's clearing the air of like that time when that boyfriend and I thought this, and it's like you just get it out. And it's like, you know, when you see kids have a temper tantrum and they're like, I hate you, mom. The mom knows that the kids tired or angry and it doesn't take it personally. And that's the same times 100,000 that God's like, oh, that's okay. You can be angry. You can call me whatever. And you get it out, you clear it. And it's very liberating for people. So if you feel like you have some of those misperceptions, I had a lot of them actually. I put here, I kind of want to move this along, but the story I have about God was someone asked me, a spiritual teacher was like, oh, what's your relationship to God? And I was like, you know, I'm spiritual, but not believing in God kind of thing. So I had a thing about God and I was raised Catholic and I was like, this God thing's really stupid. And how can there be, you know, puppies being put in like dryers and all this like disgusting things that humans do and be God? Like that was what I had a hard time with. There's this benevolent intelligence that doesn't add up for me. But I was in my 20s and this question was asked to me and it was at a pretty ripe time where I was actually willing to look at this again and go, what do I think about that? And within that one day, it was like, oh, bam. I resolved within myself that what my religion was teaching me about God was so far from God. And that was my BS meter that was saying, this isn't God either. And I confused it. And it was all just in this ball of confusion I never opened up and looked at. I just decided, God schmod, not digging it. I like spirit. That makes more sense to me. But it's the same thing. And I came home and my roommate was, she goes to the Salvation Army Church and she's very connected to God through the Bible, through that source. And as we go through this class, whatever your thing is your thing. Whatever lights you up, whatever congregation, anything, that's your thing. And you have to honor that. So she said the exact same thing. She's like, oh, I even forget what she said, but we're in God's likeness, but we have made God in our likeness. And it was like, zing, okay, what would it be like if I was in God's likeness? And that started a ripple of oneness and direct contact with God and mystical experiences and cool stuff. But that's what can happen in that FU letter, to almost a certain degree of like clear, open, able to now have fresh information come in from God instead of other people's interpretations of God. That's more what we're being called to right now. Direct, just clear the space, let it come in. Okay. And I found this Bible verse, for the Lord sees not as man sees. I was like, okay, that's already in the Bible, but that wasn't said in my church or my Catholic school. So it was in there. We just weren't looking at it. So we need to look at our blocks to clear that space, not for a long time and not like analyzing the crap out of it, but look at where we have our misperceptions and allow them to be released or let go or made sense of in meditation and the practices we've gone through. I had this visualization when I was working with somebody of like, you know, the little kids in the little plastic cars and their parents are driving it. And the kid's like, vroom, vroom, and they're like, I'm driving this car. That was my inspired idea of our ego. That our ego thinks it's like, I'm doing this. But there's this parent that's doing it, that's making sure you're getting around, making sure you're getting it done, making sure you're getting all the things in the grocery cart all behind you and paying for it. And you're like, meow, meow. So it's funny because these images come to me to teach me things and they're often funny. So I finally found, it's I guess in some sort of Japanese market or something from the picture, but I finally found a picture of this, of this little car. And I found it funny to describe that we do have free will, absolutely, but there's like this golden silver cord that is, and that's our soul and our essence that's connected to spirit, connected to our soul. And it's like, okay, this is the best, highest, best expression of yourself here now. And it's kind of bringing you that way. And that's kind of what's happening, is like, no matter what we're thinking and where we think we're turning, that best direction is going to happen either way. And it could be seemingly negative. We're going to talk about negative and positive and good and bad, but we're on the way. Especially anyone on this call is definitely already on that path of like, no matter what you think you're doing right or wrong, there's a path that's already being done for you and you're already there. And it's about getting on that path. And there's teachings by the teachings of Abraham by Esther Hicks. And she uses that analogy often of like going where the river's going. Why would you paddle upstream? So very much like that. And that's used in many, many religious poems and books, literature. Okay. So in this slide, spirit's not so damn serious. And I use the word damn on purpose because I'm not going to get my mouth washed out with soap because I said damn. It's not a big deal. I don't think I'm offending anybody. So oftentimes, like, I find people are swearing a lot more now too because they're just like, fuck goddamn that. They're just wanting to be free of that constriction that people are imposing on what it looks like to live a good life. And people are getting this real authentic impulse that it isn't so serious and that it shouldn't be so constricting. So it's like listening to that because that's your truth. So the word enthusiasm, I like looking at the core of words because I find I learn a lot from that, means to be in God, to be possessed by God, the spirit of God. And I spoke in the heart module about how we'll have enthusiasm, but because of disappointments, we will continue to dampen our enthusiasm because the disappointment hurt. And then our enthusiasm gets more and more, like I'm seeing a wet blanket on a fire kind of thing, dampened. And then we don't have as much joy because we want to protect ourselves from disappointment, which then keeps us in that in theos of God. So that inner child, our heart, that heart module is goes into the spirit module on purpose. That is our godly connection. That, like, I want to jump on the trampoline is spirit. It's that's our spiritual vitality coming through, that enthusiasm, that which lights you up, that which is like, ooh, I love this. And furthermore, that's what's going to point you in the direction of your purpose. If people are on this call that are like, what's my purpose? It should be part of you in some form, maybe not literally, but you know, I didn't know this job existed. I'm like in my cottage by the lake and talking to all of you guys because that was what I followed. And I didn't quite know what was going to happen, but and my job won't be with other people's jobs, but following this is putting you on purpose. So spending a lot of time finding your purpose, it's all the same thing. Find yourself, find your connection, find your center, find your source. Everything's there. Your purpose, your ideal partner, your ideal self relationship, your self-esteem, your self-confidence is all there. Your diet, what to eat, is there. So it's like, to me, the work is always connecting to that you are the manual place of our center. And it's not so damn serious as like lighten up and give yourself a break. Like people can get really constricted and serious. And I see the gamut of people that are like, I have to heal my ancestral wounds and my karma. I'm like, okay. Does that feel good? Or does that feel really daunting and long and hard? Oh, well, I don't know. It kind of feels daunting and long and hard. Okay. Well, what do you think feels better? Do you want to maybe just like work on what's going on in your life right now? Yeah. Okay. Like that level of ease and simplicity of why would we spend an hour talking about karmic stuff and past lives if it isn't naturally coming forth in that moment in the intelligence of who you are coming forth saying, bam, this is what you need to look at. So that's when things can get serious. And that's when you can spend a year doing spiritual development. Not really, because you're imposing your own thoughts on what you think you should be doing and it just sounds spiritual. So how you feel and that enthusiasm, that feeling lit up or called or seeing repetition, actually we'll keep going because we can talk about repetition and stuff, is going to be the sign that you are in spirit, inspired. This is part of the don't take it so seriously. I forgot I put this here. So I've got Buddy Jesus from Dogma that says, do you need an arc? I know a guy. Ha ha ha. Another thing about spirit is, you know, you've got like Black Jesus and Korean Jesus and all sorts of types of Jesus. And that's because we do need to see a model in our likeness in order to connect to something. Like it would be a big disconnect to be Korean and have a big white Jesus, and just that wouldn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't matter though. It's obviously not a tall white man, as we know. But there's of course all these other belief systems. So if it's whatever way we have connected to God, either culturally or whatever, God will connect to us. And we don't have to go looking that far. So if it's someone's grandmother, like when I've done some spiritual connection with people, sometimes it's their grandmother, like the smell of their grandmother's house. And that reconnects them to spirit. They felt safe. They felt loved. They felt good. They felt grounded. That's spirit. You know, doesn't have to be an angel that comes down and says, you're connected to God. Like that spirit. Nature for me was a huge one. I remember mom's like, we're going to church. Why? I just didn't get it. I was just like, why? If God's everywhere, why am I going? Like, you know, which leads me to this career. But I now know, I love the idea of congregating. If someone would have explained to me as a child, like, we're going to come together with other people. We're going to just sing together. We're going to come together. We're going to connect with other human beings. We're going to do service. I would have got on board. I don't know, maybe Jenna, 6 years old, might not have, but I can really see why church has become what it is, because we do need to come together and we do need to not feel alone, and we're not meant to do this all alone. So the ritual and ceremony have come to really admire now in my life and see how beautiful it is, because it really is. Even ritual, the act of doing a ritual, is something with reverence and presence, because I think I've seen too many people do it just because you're supposed to. And because I can feel, as most of you can feel when someone's just doing something. And that was always like, again, my bullshit meter would go up of, okay, someone's doing this thing. Even yoga, often I would see people do yoga and I was like, okay. And then when I worked with a teacher that was deeply connected to spirit, I'm like, oh, wow. Wow. She's like experiencing bliss in her body and connecting and her breath. And when she was being it, I could really get on board with it. So that's another thing, is like yoga, or whether it's mathematics or whether it's a walk in the woods, it's like your connection is yours. So know what works for you, know what lights you up, and do that. Because then spirit will connect with you. Just do it though. If it's walking in the woods, don't wait until a month. If spiritual connection is important to you, to go walking in the woods, because you go walking in the woods and spirit's like, I've got messages for you, but you're not coming to the woods. And can you just meet me halfway? So whatever it is for you, partake in that thing. If it is a yoga class, if it is music, if it is writing, if it is art, and that gets you in that alignment, in that flow, in that union, do it. Okay. So now more kind of interesting information about spirituality in general. Again, the level of spirit isn't, we went through the mind, body more so in a sense of our subconscious mind, and that it has far more intelligence than we give it, in terms of most people judge their symptoms. But the symbolism, as you can see through this class, a lot of things are repeating. So symbol and synchronicity are key things about spirit. So what does that mean? So symbol is just not literal. Like if an apple falls, for someone, this is back to interpretations, but this is when interpretations work in your favor. If the apple falls and I'm like, gifts from spirit, I'm like, yay. And then the apple could fall and someone's like, oh, like, I don't know, somehow sees it as sad and dying and the apple, like, I don't know, gonna decay. So that person's interpretation will be the message, if that makes any sense. Like, how we see the world will now work for us and to use it that way. So if you impose belief systems on you that don't make sense to you, that won't really work for you. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm gonna do this manifesting exercise that doesn't quite match up, it probably won't work as well. A lot of people try to do things because someone does them, and it's good to try new things, but you'll kind of see what's normal and natural to you, and you'll see what works for you and to go that way. Like Ingrid, who's on this class, she might not be here today, she likes evidence. And so astrology was very scientific and evidence-based for her. It would give her information, so it really worked for her. I've never been a fan of like those personality, figuring out personalities, do a bunch of quizzes and then you figure something out. Like, I'm a direct contact kind of person. So, but if that is your thing, and that if the Enneagram and all these things are your thing, do that thing. I think you're getting the point. So within that, that's how you can use synchronicity. If someone talks about the Enneagram and then you see it on Facebook ads, like bling, and then there's a, I don't know, that's how spirit works with us. I say life is your teacher. So if something is insistent, consistent, persistent, that's a phrase that I learned in psychotherapy training as when to speak up to a client, if it's insistent, consistent, persistent. Now I use that teaching in watching your life. So if it's a thought that keeps coming back, if it's an emotion that keeps coming back, if it just doesn't die off after a couple days, there's something there for you, and that's life trying to talk to you. Again, that's where the body scan, the brain dump, the writing, the sitting, heart breathing, that's when they all start to come into action. And you don't have to do a bunch of things. Those are very simple things that you can weave into any lifestyle. And a little bit about Carl Jung, he used this whole term of synchronicity and the thought sphere that we talked about in the thought one, of all of this collective, again, this unified connection. Just wanted to make note of that. So pay attention, life is your teacher. So here I'm gonna talk about how art, music, poetry, like creature comforts, like cuddling and hugging I have here, is actually very, you know, people are like, oh, I'm being lazy, I'm maybe cuddling with my love bug or something, and it's actually union and feeling good and all that kind of stuff is because of this idea of hard work, the masculine model, the toxic masculine model, hard work, do this, do that, like that's become part of religion, that it just kind of gets in our skin, and we just don't even realize that we have it, that to just be in ease and to do something that's blissful to us is productive. If productive means loving yourself, loving your life, and being on purpose, it, you know, doesn't mean you don't do the laundry. It doesn't mean you don't do these things. But people do have this thing about, if I am in peace and flow and ease, how am I going to get stuff done? What's interesting is if you shift into the spirit paradigm, things get done in ways that are like so cool, because instead of that fitting things in boxes and having to work so hard, you're now like working with all of intelligence to do it with you, for you, and then you're doing what's in front of you, which is hugely different than our Western model of having to know it all and get everything done. And like, I still do lists, I still do project planning, I still use all of those skills and tools, but I always release it to if it's going to happen in a better way, or if I need to go right and spend an hour here when I planned an hour to do this thing, then suddenly I get three things done because I run into somebody, I find something at someplace else, and then it's all done. So we're now dancing with intention. We're dancing with co-creation, and we're dancing with creator itself. Is everyone with me? Cause we're good. Okay. Cause I'm like, are we going way too far out there? So music and nature, all of this stuff is important if we want to align into that spiritual feminine energy. Again, not female, feminine energy of being, like receiving naturally. I have this beautiful flower I have to show you, people that are on the slide. This rose bloomed in my garden Friday, November. It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
So I have it. I got it and I saved it. And so smelling a rose before, I would be like, got stuff to do. I don't even know what I was supposed to do half the time. My brain was just like, do. Smelling a rose would seem impractical because my inner child, my enthusiasm, was so contorted with all of the crap and wounds and stuff. So as that naturally starts to purge, as that naturally starts to heal, as we naturally start to like kind of shed skin, we're going to talk about serpent in a little bit. Our natural being, that alive being, will go, ooh, yum, naturally. It's we will naturally want to experience pleasure. And it's good. It's good to experience pleasure. It's not damning. Okay, so music and all that kind of stuff is the original shamanism. It's being able to go into another world and bring it back into this world. That's what shamanism is. That's it. Seeing in the dark is the literal translation. But all of these things enter us into when Tibetan monks do a type of meditation called mandalas, there are these intricate patterns with sand. And it's the act of doing the thing in that place of beingness that's the prayer. It's not the rogue thing. It's the beingness of the doing. It's when I'm singing, it's not how well I sing. It's the beingness of singing, of being voice in action. And I can't even describe it, right? It's like that, whatever that is. If it's like cuddling your child, that is spiritual. And so many people aren't giving themselves acknowledgement for how spiritual they're actually being half of the time, because smiling at a grumpy lady that is frazzled because she's at work and, you know, she's ringing through your groceries, that's spiritual. That's being spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Buddha is talking about. And I think there's so many light beings. And when I say that word, it just means people that are naturally sensitive and caring and loving and want good for everyone, and they're not egoic, me first, and everyone else can go screw themselves. They live such loving lives. They're caring deeply for other people. But these people often feel like they're not receiving to the same degree that they give, and that's probably true too. Those are the people that need to do more pleasure, more pretty flowers. So Aisha asked in last class, how do I balance my masculine and my feminine? I said, it's actually like, it's that stereotype to a certain degree, but it's not. It's that like sensuality, like the clothing, the flowers, the smells. It's like bringing back the sensuality of living, brings in that feminine energy and reconnects us to that natural receiving. Because those givers, us light workers that are givers, we need to like give ourselves a break and not work so hard. That's kind of what I'm saying here, is that they're like, I haven't meditated enough and I haven't done this and I haven't done that. But who are you being? Who are you being when you went to work? When someone was grumpy to you, who were you being at your core? That is worth acknowledging, not all the doing. So pay attention to who you're being versus the doing so much. Another thing about spirit is it's everywhere. In shamanism, we could journeying is just the ability to communicate to something's essence, to the intelligence of the thing. So I could journey to that rose. I could go in my spirit mind, and I talk about higher self soon, and I could connect to the essence of the rose, and I could get a message. And the message is through the messenger of the rose. So that might be a unique message from the rose. And then I might journey to my cat. My cat might have a different message. Even though the messages are different, they're still spirit. So it's the ability to kind of connect directly to spirit, but spirit has different forms in which it'll communicate. When I worked with shamans, I worked with this African shaman named Mandaza from Zimbabwe. And he's like, okay, you're going to go do a ceremony and you will take this rattle and you'll bring an apple and you'll find a river and you'll go and give the apple to the tree and sing a song. That was my instructions. I was like, what river, what song? And that's how, that's spirit. So I'm driving, and then I was like, that river. Oh, okay, that river. And it was in Stratford. Okay, I'm going to go Friday. And then my mind decided practically, I can go do this on Friday. I bring apple, and I bring the rattle. I'm like, okay. Like, I was kind of like, I don't want to be this singing lady with a rattle in the middle of Stratford. And, you know, it's like, I did not know what tree, what river. And then yet I did. That tree. Then I found the tree, walked across the bridge. Cool about this story. I can't even remember why I had to do the ceremony or what it was supposed to be for, but obviously something. I was walking and the ducks all jumped off of the side and into the water while I was walking because I startled them. Went and did this ceremony, found this tree and this kind of island thing that you have to walk over a bridge. And then it was kind of cool because I didn't want to look like a mad woman. There's like a bit of a covering in the tree, so I could kind of walk in and kind of be covered. But what was even cooler, it was a kind of a rainy day, but it cleared up exactly as I was doing this. So no one was around anyway. And that's the type of stuff where when you get on board and you participate and you step into the unknown, you'll get lots of help. So as I'm walking back, the ducks all stayed. I didn't startle them. And that was fascinating to me. So, okay, something genuinely shifted in my energy that I am in, more in when. And that's that real spirit is everywhere. I did not know, but I did know in the doing of the thing. And that's how we can live our lives. So what do I have on here? In my shamanism class, she called journeying like your direct cell phone. So you don't just pick up your phone and expect to talk to the person from your intention. You dial a number and you're like, I'm going to call them and ask them what they're doing on Saturday. So sometimes we're a little too vague. Sometimes we're a little too specific. So not without making this whole thing about intention setting, having a direct intention with faith and conviction that you're being heard is very powerful. So, and having it matter to you. So if you are like, I'm going to manifest a cup of coffee and that doesn't matter much to you, there's not a lot of emotional juice towards that. But if it's like, can you show me, so say Kendra, you're looking for a career path. Like that's when you're like, show me, I'm listening. Oh, and then you're neutral. It's not so attached. Oh, this school came. Oh, it must be this school. And then you get attached, right? Like thoughts. Ooh, this school. It's like, no, what part of that school? Okay, it's falling away. Okay, it's not for me. Back on track. Where do I need to go? With faith and conviction. Because faith and conviction amps up your ability to receive. Not be worthy of. You're always worthy of it. But you open up your receivingness when you have faith and conviction that you will receive, even if you don't know how. That's like the secret PhD program. Archetype and metaphor. This is a whole other world of more kind of like if this is spiritual academic teaching, archetype and metaphor are, again, just not literal. So like a horse. So I have the medicine cards here, which medicine cards, they're animals. And so the animals are symbolic of teachings. They're not literal. You're not like, if your spirit animal is a cow, you're not a cow. It's like you're gentle and you're, you know, there's archetypes, there's symbols that go with that thing. And the world of spirit is much like that. You'll see, let me just digress a bit. Some people see things physically. They see them in this world. I don't. I kind of see them in this space in my mind that is nowhere, but in my mind. Don't know how to describe that, but it's like I see them, but I don't see them physically. Some people feel things in their body. All of them are good. All of us can do all of these things. I'll hear music or I'll hear something, and it could sound like an audio thing, or it could sound like it's kind of coming from my mind again, but it's a hearing experience, and sometimes there's a smell. I was talking to somebody and I was like, I smell roses while I'm talking to you. And she was like, oh, that's so interesting because I was just talking to this girl about rose. Like, and as we have faith in ourselves and faith in our natural inborn connection to spirit, the stuff that sounds batshit crazy is actually like the exact thing that person needs to hear. Like 9 times out of 10, I say stuff that makes no sense to me whatsoever. And they're like, oh, how'd you know? I'm like, I don't know. I actually don't know anything. Like, I actually know that I don't know, which allows me to receive from infinite intelligence. So don't be so serious about it. Don't be like, oh, why am I getting the sense to tell the person to, I don't know, something random, like get a purple teapot. And they might break down crying because they had a purple teapot when they were 6 and they really want, like, it means something to them. So the things that we think are random are actually more often how spirit will talk to us, because that's how we'll pay attention. It's that spirit speaking our language thing. Like, if we walk towards spirit and connection and soul and that oneness, it will walk to us 10 times more. So there's very little that we have to do. We really just do need to more receive and be and chill out and have fun. Like, I've started to get on board that, like, sleeping is part of my job. Going and getting a massage is part of my job, because the more tuned up I am, the more I'm living in alignment, the more I can be that for others, and the more I can be here and present today and not burnt out and, like, busy getting shit done. I can be, because I'm listening to my own rhythm and what works for me. So back to my actual lecture. Archetype and metaphor, I was on track. They don't always make sense. So if you're seeing a teacher, it doesn't necessarily mean something to do with school and something this is good. If you pull back the camera in your mind and kind of create more space, oftentimes if you just create more space and, like, literally picture yourself pulling back a camera, you'll start to see from a bigger perspective, from the symbolic perspective. And everyone can do this, but you have to let yourself do it, much like when we're listening to our body intelligence, it just bubbles up. So the archetypes are like little packages from spirit that have a bunch of information in them, but they come in the form of a picture or metaphor or something like that. So I'm actually going to pull a card. An animal card, armadillo. So we've got our mind going, armadillo. You know, lots of people like to have sexy spirit animals, like I'm a black jaguar. They don't want to be a mouse or donkey, even though that might be the medicine they need. So armadillo, actually, I'm going to read a little bit about armadillo, because I pull armadillo all the time. For my female clients, they usually all have this need for this medicine. And with this, what I mean by medicine, and I like the word medicine, is it's like taking this information and making it like a soothing, healing something, rather than like a teaching or just reading something. There's something that feels like more like a verb, like it's an action thing to me about the word medicine, which shamans use a lot. Armadillo, armor all my boundaries, teach me my shields, reflect all the hurt, so I will not yield. It's about boundaries. I was talking about light workers and receiving and feeling like that's a theme. If that's a theme, please share in the Facebook group, because that would be good to talk about. Receiving and actually being the friend that gets to talk to, because a lot of us light workers don't have someone else to receive from. And there's ways of flipping that around. So I'm going to read what armadillo is, and you'll see how this is metaphorical and symbolic and not literal. Armadillo wears its armor on its back, its medicine a part of its body. Its boundaries of safety are a part of its total being. Armadillo can roll into a ball and never be penetrated by enemies. What a gift it is to set your boundaries so that harmful words or intentions just roll off. Your lesson is in setting up what you are willing to experience. If you do not wish to experience feeling invaded, call on armadillo medicine. A clue to how to proceed is to make a circle on a piece of paper and see it as a medicine shield. In the body of the shield, write all that you are desiring to have, do, or experience. It's a cool little exercise for you guys to do. Include all the things that give you joy. This sets up boundaries that allow only these chosen experiences to be part of your life. These boundaries become a shield that wards off, the circle is the boundary, things which are undesirable to you. The shield reflects what you are and what your will is to others on an unconscious level. Outside of the shield, you may put what you are willing to experience by invitation only. For example, a visit from a long-lost relative, or criticism from friends, or people needing handouts so that they won't be bombarding into your life. If armadillo has waddled into your cards, it is time to define your space. You may have been too willing to let your home become a bus station. You may find that you cannot say no, even when you know that you will have to cancel plans or be obliging. This routine can get old in a hurry. It may be time to ask yourself the following questions. Am I honoring the time I need for my personal enjoyment? Do others treat me like a doormat? Why do I always get upset when I am taken for granted? Is there a reason for my being a yes person? All of the answers to these questions relate to setting up boundaries, what you will and won't do, what makes you feel uncomfortable, and what is confronting to you. How you react in any circumstance has to do with your ability to be objective. You cannot be objective if you cannot tell where the other person's personality stops and where yours begins. If you have no boundaries, you are like a sponge. It will seem as if all the feelings in a room full of people must be yours. Ask if you are really feeling depressed or if this feeling actually belongs to the person you're talking to. Then allow armadillo's armor to slice in between, giving you back your sense of self. Good medicine from a little armadillo. So that is like an archetype. So it's an armadillo, but here's all of the teachings that can unravel. And furthermore, this is just a good exercise for all of you to do that makes sense that it came up in this session around what is the joy you want to bring into your life, making that circle. I'm going to have sacred me time, not as a selfish thing, but as the self-full thing, filling full yourself so you can be fully you for whatever you're doing. So I think that would be a good exercise for you all to do is what is this circle that you're going to keep sacred and invite armadillo medicine. So not just you doing it, but inviting in this extra support and this medicine that is a boundary by its nature. And then only inviting in people that might be taking too much energy or whatnot, or what you think was a good relationship and it's actually not. Because that happens a lot. And then again, you feel resentful and then you feel less connection to spirit because you're overgiving. So that's a good example of how spirit will come in and just say, okay, Jenna, you're doing these slides, but we're going to actually do this other exercise and talk about armadillo medicine. That's how it works, because obviously what's different about these presentations than one-on-one sessions that I do with people is that I'm getting direct feedback, but I can't do that with a group. I have to just kind of deliver and trust, which is kind of cool too, because I have to trust that everything that's coming through me today is exactly what you need in little slivers and slices. So when you are connecting on a spirit level, let me think. Does anyone have any questions about anything so far? And how it might directly affect you or anything, which is good. Okay, so let me take a pause. Yeah, so basically do the brain dumps, do the body scans, do the heart breathing, because you'll enter into that space of self-sourcing, and then all of this will reveal itself. This ability to see the symbols will all... And remember that you're your own teacher and you're your own wise one. You're your own counsel. Because as the symbol comes up, you might want to outsource and go, Jenna, what does armadillo mean? And I'll say... like journey to it, like sit with it. What does it mean to you? And then allow that to evolve or look it up, or, you know, because we have Google now. I mean, like, we have everything at our fingertips, literally. So that when these things do come to you, remember to actually connect and go, what that questions, like we asked our feelings, like we asked our symptoms, like, what is this message for me? Wait, and then wait some more. And be patient, and something will inevitably reveal itself. And if there's like radio silence, then it's probably time to move on to something else. So a little bit about archetype and metaphor. You'll probably hear those words. Joseph Campbell is a big component to that. Carl Jung. So this part I really like. I learned in the Four Winds Medicine School with Alberto Beloldo. These levels of perception. And what I liked about it was a simple way, a container, these are archetypes, to explain a bunch of stuff that I knew in my head that I had no idea how to actually communicate. So yay. So serpent, the level of serpent. So we have many perceptive abilities. So there's like just seeing the facts, having a mental emotional reaction to it, having a metaphorical, ceremonial, symbolic experience of something, and then there's just like being. All of them happen at the same time. When we're in our left cognitive mind, we're only aware of what's there, here, now. We're kind of constrained into this little box. But did anyone see the Jill Bolt Taylor thing? I recommend watching that YouTube video of Jill Bolt Taylor's TED Talk, because she's so... is being her teaching as she describes this right brain experience very well. So the level of serpent is literal facts, no emotion. It's like legal. You know, if you're writing a letter, if you're in a courtroom, you don't have a bunch of emotion. It doesn't do anything for you. It's like at 5 p.m., blah, 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 blue shirt. No interpretation to blue shirt. Blue shirt, facts, 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 facts. And the type of coaching I was trained in is called ontological. And that's actually ontology. It's just like just what is. No interpretation. There's what is. And the ability to go there allows us to expand again. But if we're caught up in our emotions, like Jaguar, so Jaguar is the level of mental and emotional everything. So thought, interpretation, emotion, reaction is the level of Jaguar. Most people hang out there. So to move out of it, if you're feeling particularly reactive, you can go down. It's like down in a sense, but it's just different. That you can go to the level of serpent where you just get to the facts. So what actually happened? Well, he said this, and then it's not what you made it mean. It's what did they actually say? Et cetera, et cetera. Oftentimes looking just at what happened will calm people down and reset their state from one that's very hyper-reactive, and they have a thought, then they emotionally react to the thought, and they have another thought, and they emotionally react to that thought, and then they're caught. The other way is to go into a state of the archetype of hummingbird, which even you think of the archetype, it's just fluttering around very magically. That's the level of ceremony, meditation, metaphor, nature, music, art, writing, that level of meaning and purpose. So that would be ways of moving your state, that you aren't stuck someplace, that you can always move into a different perceptive state. And eagle's just the pure spirit. That's the where we began here, is all one. It's nothing and everything at the same time. And so this is really cool to weave into your life, you guys, because it's easy. It's like if you're caught in something, like, okay, let me just write down the facts. Very easy to do, and it will shift your perceptive state. Or what would this mean if it was good for me, if you're thinking it's only bad for you? So my trees were just cut in the back of my place, vividly angry about that, because the person who owned that property clear cut the whole brush instead of like saving some of the trees, like just so now I like this like all brush back behind my house, and now I can see all the way across the street in this ugly building. So I was like livid angry, and I let myself be angry again, the emotional heart part. But then I was like, okay, if this happened to me, what would be the higher purpose, or like what? And that wasn't spiritually bypassing. I was still feeling the anger. So I wasn't like pushing the anger down and making it wrong. I was angry, 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 like full blown angry, temper tantrum, angry. But at the same time, I have the capacity. We all have the capacity to hold a space of love and perception that we can see more than the anger, which is what I did. And I laughed when I saw the sunset come through, because I have been wanting to see the sunset from my house and having that intention that I'd like to see the sunset more, and now I can. So I kind of giggled and thought, all right, so it's done. Can't do anything about it. But that's like, that's when you start to get into that level of spirit where nothing's actually wrong or bad. But you still are human, and you have your human experience. And there's space for all of it. There's space for all of it. You can do all of it, because that's who you are. And for super smarty pants people, in the slides I have more information about archetype that I'm not going to talk about here, like the origin of the word and what it means, and metaphor. But I use the metaphor I have here, the ability to communicate without being literal is like understanding opera without knowing the language. So that sense of understanding without it making sense is the level of spirit. So you can hear a song and go, oh, it's so yearning, and not know Italian, because that message is bigger than the literal need to hear the words. I like nature as a teacher, and we are part of nature. There's a really cool picture here of a leaf close up of blood vessels in a heart. That's interesting with the heart surgery, and the river network of the Amazon from high above. So we've got like really, really small, and then we've got high above, and they all look the same. Again, union, connection. I feel like unworthiness is our inability to see our part in nature. Like, I had this moment watching a sunset, and I was just in awe of how beautiful it was, and then my spirit in my own head went, well, that's what you are. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not, no, no. And that a little, like, you know, dialogue with these two parts of myself in that moment, but that moment was like, oh, right, okay, we are that. we are the sunset, like mountains are just being and trees are just being. And when we lose touch with our beingness and over-identify with how we look and how we show up and what people think of us and what our roles are and how well we're doing based on whatever measurements are out there, you will never feel good enough. Ever, ever, ever. Never. But when you're in alignment with that, I am a tree, just being a tree, like I am Connie, I'm Kendra, I'm Tash, like I'm just being Tash. The more we get on board with that and kind of create a love affair with who we are, how we show up, that is spiritual. You know, in some of the spiritual teachings, it's like, oh, you're being cocky, or you're being arrogant, or you're being ego, vanity, etc. I don't think that makes sense, like, because there's all these beautiful things that are unapologetically beautiful, and they don't identify with being beautiful, they just are. So why would it be wrong to be that, if that feels good? So, you know, doing what feels good, and I find a lot of people that do this work tend to start buying different clothes and decorating their house, and like that spirit in them is like, I want purple. Like, it's just like you go and buy purple. And as you do that, more things start to open up. So being this part of nature, being unapologetically being, I have a coaching program I'm launching in January called Tall Tree Coaching. I love it because I have this idea of being a tall tree, and you're just a tall tree, and that's that. There's nothing arrogant about it. There's nothing boastful about it. It just is. And, to just kind of own who we're being was the origin of that. And I think all of us on this call have some way of being that is naturally who we are, that maybe we hide or maybe we don't fully embrace, but it is deeply spiritual to embrace who you are, how you show up. If you're quiet, if your essence is quiet, if your essence is detail-oriented, sometimes people will judge their essence like, I'm big and boisterous, but I'm also very quiet and introverted. So on my spiritual journey, what I think has actually heightened my spiritual journey has been being almost like an anthropologist and being like, what does the Jenna really want to do and be and like? And, oh, okay, she's grumpy if you do this, and not being apologetic about it. Okay, I am. So how can I work with who I am instead of trying to contort who I am into fitting into something else? And what's ended up happening is in that self-acceptance, a lot of the stuff just falls away. A lot of the judgments fall away. I'm better with people. I'm more loving with people. Like, my attempt to be loving and be giving made me very harsh and resentful and grumpy. By letting myself be grumpy and resentful sometimes, I could be more loving. And so as we allow all the spectrum of who we are, how we show up, our humanness and our beingness, our body, mind, heart, spirit, our good days and our bad days, that's deeply spiritual. That wholeness, allowing it all. I was angry, angry, angry. That's okay. It's gone now. I can see sunsets. Like, I still kind of look out and I'm like, ah. And then I'm like, okay. So it moves, it moves, it moves. It's 8:41. That was a lot of information. I'm going to talk about what is a higher self, because this is stuff that comes up. People talk about spirit, like what are past lives and what's our higher self and what's our energy body. And I didn't go into a lot of that because I want this to be more about the direct contact, the actual like real life toolkit, then a bunch of information about chakras and stuff. You can find that anywhere, and I'm sure most of you have already done that. If you want to look up chakras, Google chakras. You will find a lot of information. If you want to look up energy body, look up energy body, and you will find lots of information. But if you want to feel spiritual, these are more of the things to engage with. Unless your spirit's like, I like chakras. What's with that? I want to do that. That's for you. Your higher self is simply the part of you that is unencumbered by the mental and emotional noise of who you think you are. That's it. That's the very basic explanation. The higher self is that direct soul ability to like it's like your intermediary. I've never thought about this before, and it's like your intermediary, like a mediator between you and your soul. Like, we got no. Let's tell her this, and you can directly dialogue with your higher self. Even cooler, you can directly dialogue on the psychic plane, because thoughts are everywhere and we're all connected, with people that you can't physically dialogue with. So my brother is not totally emotionally functional. I have conversations with him on a higher self level. And this sounds so woo-woo mumbo jumbo, but I have seen it have direct effects on how something will play out. So when my father died, we were co-executors, and he's nutso, like not able to be reasoned with, and would go off on these tangents. And so I would dread talking to him. So I had to talk to him. This paper had to get done. And I was like, okay, higher self, all right, have a conversation with this thing. This is what happened. He calls, and I look, and it says his name, and of course, avoid his name. I'm like, oh, I don't want to get there right now. I don't want to do that. And then what happened? Oh, my phone called him. Didn't touch it. It was sitting over there. I'm getting ready for the day. My phone calls him, and I hear his voice go, hello? I'm like, he's like, shit, I didn't want to talk to him. And he was in a good mood, and we got it done. So the higher self works on the spiritual plane, and then it can come make its way down into our again, mental, emotional, physical selves. With not getting too woo-woo about the whole thing, we have a higher self. We have this connection to soul. It's relatable and direct. There's no special meditation you have to do. All of this will deepen your connection with your higher self. Your higher self will talk to you again in the language that you speak. I hear funny songs and their messages from spirit. Like you get to know, again, being an anthropologist in your own life, like, ooh, how do I connect to spirit? Like I'll see billboards and they'll be what I was just thinking of. They don't always mean something. Sometimes it's just like a wink from the universe going, hee hee, hello. And sometimes it actually means something like confirmation, go that way. Yep. So another way, of course, is meditation, journaling, surprise, all of the things we've already talked about. So in spiritually speaking, reality, soul, what you seek, Rumi and mystic poets are awesome. Hafiz and Rumi. What you seek is seeking you. It's so important to remember that this like grand design that created you, that has direct contact with you, is on your side, working with you, and actually wants you to have it too. I have found that deeply soothing in my own life. Like I remember when I think when I first read this, I was like, oh. And I just felt like a whole weight come off of me of like how hard I felt I had to work to get this soul purpose. I have a soul purpose and I have to get it. It was like, oh, it's seeking me. I could just have a nap. Like that, like relieving feeling that what you want wants you. Very good to remember. I have a little video, but I think I'm just going to post that to the Facebook group about what's good and bad. What do you guys think? Do you feel like a little video? It's 2 minutes and 36 seconds. Or do we want to do Facebook group? Okay, thumbs up is video. Thumbs down is no video. Thumbs up. I have one vote. Okay, we're watching the video. Okay, let me just see what else I have here. Stuff to do to access spirit. You guys can download the slides. It's the same stuff that we talked about. Making an altar. An altar alters the energy. An altar brings things higher. So having a place that's sacred in your house, I do recommend that. Mine's back here. Small little table, one flower, one candle, nothing fancy unless you want it to be, but someplace where you can come back, and you know what you're doing there is very powerful. Sleeping is very spiritual because you're being worked on by your higher self and by, there's your higher self and then there's actually guides and beings. I didn't want to go there too much, but there are guides and beings. There's lots and lots of help on the spiritual plane to help you get where you need to be. They can work on you when you're sleeping. Sleeping is good. It's not lazy. Unless you're avoiding something, and you'll know when that is anyways. Okay, so that's for your slides. You guys have that? And then, so just this, like, a reminder. This is my cat, Abby, and she's just chilling. We don't let ourselves do this, right? We're just, like, we're posing and all sorts of stuff, but just being, like, watching clouds and not thinking what we're going to say and not hypervigilantly posturing. It's like, just being. That is deeply spiritual. That is deeply spiritual. So I thought, saw that picture, I thought I'd throw it on here. And live your life. That is deeply spiritual. There's the quote, a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are for. So, all right, let's watch the video. And then I have some poems and resources for your slides, okay? And let's see if this will, let me know, Tash, if you see the video come up or if it doesn't. Or what do you see?
Not seeing it yet. Okay. Oh, here we go. It's coming.
Is it? I think. Okay. It's loading.
Okay.
Okay, how are we doing? Are we seeing it?
We're hearing it? I don't think we're seeing anything yet.
Okay. One sec. I'm going to stop share. Oh. I'm going to stop sharing it and start sharing again.
Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer who lost a horse, ran away. And all the neighbors came around that evening and said, "That's too bad." And he said, "Maybe." The next day, the horse came back and brought 7 wild horses with it. And all the neighbors came around and said, "Why, that's great, isn't it?" And he said, "Maybe." The next day, his son was attempting to tame one of these horses and was riding it and was thrown and broke his leg. And all the neighbors came around in the evening and said, "Well, that's too bad, isn't it?" The farmer said, "Maybe." The next day, the conscription officers came around looking for people for the army, and they rejected his son because he had a broken leg. And all the neighbors came around that evening and said, "Isn't that wonderful?" And he said, "Maybe." The whole process of nature is an integrated process of immense complexity, and it is really impossible to tell whether anything that happens in it is good or bad, because you never know what will be the consequences of the misfortune, or you never know what will be the consequences of good fortune.
All right. It was a quick video. But good. Okay, so we are on here. It says it all, what we think and what it is, and our limited perception. We'll see it one way, that we are all characters in that story. We're happening, that we're getting our leg broken. We're the ones saying it's good or bad. We're the ones saying, "Oh, maybe not." So if you're having down times and things, if you really get on board with this divine intelligence thing while honoring your own emotions, things will go markedly differently for you. I am going to open this up And then I'm going to do an activation meditation thing that I've been doing. But I want to check in with anybody first on if they have any questions about anything or if they just want to say something that's coming from their spirit. Let me put it this way. What's one way you're going to connect to spirit this week? I'll start calling names.
I've been really neglecting my love of the outdoors, so awesome. I'm going to be spending more time outside.
Awesome. All right. Connie's spending time outdoors. Anyone else?
I think I would like to create a better altar. I don't really have one. I kind of have things in different spots, but I agree that it is really nice to have one location where it's all together.
Yeah,
it's kind of a sacred spot. So I'm thinking about it for a while. I think it's time to do it.
Consistent, consistent, persistent. Mm-hmm. Anyone else, Olivia or Virginia, able to share? I don't think they are. So I think they're just listening. I'm going to not know what I'm doing, like that I do this, and connect to an energy that we're meant to connect to, or whatever messages there are. And I'm going to use some sound for this. I picked up this Tibetan bowl and tingshas and vibration is amazing. It's again another way to clear off the stuff in between us and spirit. So everyone just take a deep breath. Find, like, just let your mind go. Lots of information, stuff going on, but just find your breath. Find that center point when you're breathing and you let your mind and your brain relax. And maybe you want to put a hand on your heart and feel that heart center, or maybe you don't. Just allow your body and your being and your heart to be and breathe. And acknowledge yourself for being on this call, being present. And I want you to picture your body, and as you breathe, your energy body expands out 3 feet from your body. So as you breathe in, you're fully embodied, but it's like you fluff up and your energy expands to 3 feet beyond your body. Even if you don't know what that means, all you need to do is have the intention. And now expand to the size of the room. Breathing deeply into your body, fully embodied yet fully expanded. And now just feel the space of your being, just being. Remember that you are your teacher. You are the one who knows. Everything in your life can be exactly what you need when you need it. No matter what it looks like. So now I want you to see from your pelvis, there's roots and they're actually blue coming from your pelvis down into the earth. Feeling this connection naturally extend down just like tree roots. And what I'm seeing is they're electric blue. I'm going to play the drum for this. They're going down and you're breathing down and there's these connections down into the earth from your pelvis and your legs. So just keep breathing and feeling these roots go down into the earth. Receive anything you need coming up for you. If it's healing, if it's energy, if it's nourishment, whatever you need coming up for you into your body. Filling up. Just like a cell phone battery, you're plugging in. With each breath, the battery gets more and more charged. You can see in your spine, it's like a battery pack. And you're allowing yourself to receive. Light is pouring from the top of your head down into your spine, receiving from the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky and all that is pouring into you down the top of your head. Exactly what you need. And if you feel full, just breathe and feel full and let it expand into your body, into all of your cells, fully receiving. Maintain your connection, and if you're filling up still, allow that to continue. Allow an image or a word or a sound to anchor the feeling of feeling full and receiving. Could be a sunbeam. Whatever your spirit reveals to you. And taking a few deep breaths, Again, we're finding our way home. We're finding our way to our being, to this natural, unconditionally worthy place where we came from and who we are and where we'll go. And take another deep breath, and I'll play these again and feel the vibration as you start to come back fully, but keep the connection, keep the fulfilled feeling. Practice feeling expanded and present at the same time. And see if you're, as you're connected, if there is any messages for you. And when you feel complete, just let yourself look around, not necessarily at the screen or camera, but just practice feeling that connection and expansion while looking out from your eyes, that you don't have to pop out of that state, that you can be both at the same time. I'm going to end here so there's just quiet, and anything anyone may want to say can say on the Facebook page. We're going to end here. Give gratitude to yourself and acknowledgement to yourself. There's lots and lots of love coming to everyone right now from this space. There's so much joy and love that comes in connecting with the joy and love that we come from.